Today we share together in Looking for the Shepherd as we continue our series Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. We know the right place is in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But, you know, we're pretty good at, in a challenge and a struggle, we tend to look for God and for someone to save us in the wrong places. We know that there are wolves in sheep clothing at time. We know that we have looked to leaders in our country and in our world, even in our congregation. There have been religious authorities who have led us astray. We believe that only Jesus Christ is the one who can lead us to greener pastures. So today we focus on that and think, how do we do our best to look for the shepherd, the one who is good, the one who is great? I'd like for us to stand, if you are able, as we hear the gospel from John chapter 9. We'll let you know that we will not be reading all 41 verses. You'll get to sit down in just a moment. But let's hear the first 7, and then I'll pick up at verse 35. And notice that I'm focusing on what Jesus does as the good shepherd. How he tends to one of his sheep. Hear the word of the Lord before us, the living word for you and for me to hear this day. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Jesus' disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned so that he was born blind, this man or his parents?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents. This happened so that God's mighty works might be displayed in him. While it's daytime, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After he said this, he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and smeared the mud on the man's eyes. Jesus said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." So the man went away and washed. When he returned, he could see. And then picking up on verse 35, Jesus heard that they had expelled the man born blind. Finding him, Jesus said, "Do you believe in the human one?" He answered, "Who is he, sir?" "I want to believe in him." Jesus said, "You have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." The man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Jesus. Jesus said, I have come into the world to exercise judgment so that those who don't see can see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard what he said and asked, "Surely we aren't blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you won't have any sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As you notice, I have left off quite a bit of our passage today. Initially, I was going to read the entire thing, and initially I was going to focus on that as well. But if you read verses 8 through 34, you get the drama that you and I live in. The drama that we're well aware of. When something happens miraculous to somebody, we want to question it. We want to wonder what happened. Were they sinful before or after? We get into all the drama. And then, is this really the Messiah or not? We can fall into this trap as well. And I felt like how important for us to focus on what Jesus did as the Good Shepherd, who tended to this one who was blind and allowed him to see, who was able to spit on the ground and take that mud and put it into his eyes and for the first time see, creating sight where there was not sight before. I know, it sounds a little strange that he took and spit on the ground and then took that mud and put it in his eyes. But if you go back to Genesis, you hear where God took dirt and breathe life into it so that we would have Adam and Eve. And certainly, we know that God can continue to create life even out of dirt and dust. And so He creates life for this one who's able to see. And we could get stuck in the drama. And it's something that we're well aware of, not only in our church settings, but in our lives, and then on TV. I'm sure some of you have watched Days of Our Lives. Would anybody admit to having watched Days of Our Lives at some point? All right, a few of you. I'll have to admit, I had to watch it as a teenager. And I did not realize that I, as a teenager, could have an effect on a TV show. I had an effect on Days of Our Lives. I made two characters get together. Well, I and several other hundreds that my best friend's mom would have us as we walked into the house. So I'd visit, you know, two or three times a week, and I'd come into the house, and she would immediately hand me some cards. So, "Owen, start putting your name on these cards." Cards that were already filled out about, "We want Adrian and Justin to get back together." And every card said about the same thing. But she had learned from the producers that if enough people emailed in, I mean, not emailed, but sent a note in, all these cards really did have an effect. And we got them back together. Wasn't that wonderful? I think this is just a great testament to what we as little shepherds following the Good Shepherd have the potential. In drama in our lives, we can get people back together. And I think it's probably, I should admit that they did get apart again, you know, after all these years. They've come together and gone apart. But more importantly, to focus on this passage, that we too have the ability to bring people together, to help see that sometimes we may be the Pharisees who are blind to what God wants to do. You see, the Pharisees had a problem with Jesus not only being this one who's able to do miracles, but doing miracles on Sunday, of all days. That was breaking the law. You don't do a miracle on the Sabbath. And Jesus did. And they didn't like that at all. And they were discussing this as part of their drama in that as well. But who ever heard of a God who takes a day off? The day that we worship God shouldn't be the day that God takes off, right? So Jesus helped them to see that He was the Messiah in saying, "I know the need of this man. He needs to be healed on this day and in this way." He overruled the religious authorities of the day who were blinded by what God wanted to have happen in that moment. So those that were blind were able to see as we sing in Amazing Grace and we share in that message of knowing that once we were blind, but now we can see. We know it's referring to this man that Jesus heals. We also know that there are times in our lives that we lose sight. Things happen to us. We lose loved ones. We lose in relationship. There is much loss in our lives that can blind us to what God is doing right here in our midst. And I think we as Christians need to take stock of that and realize that there are times that we think we have it all together and we're the ones saying when someone can be healed and when somebody can't or how they should be healed when God wants to bring healing to this person. And that we look and notice that we may be blindsided by what is taking place in our midst, that we miss where God is showing up and active right now in our midst. As we read this scripture today, I'm intentional in saying it's the living Word of God, our message for us today. What might we need to see where we are blind? Where might we need to see that God's bringing new sight to us in a way that we can see the healing that God is doing? We focus on this passage, but I also want to focus on the passage from Psalm 23. For this shares so much of what it means to be the Good Shepherd, to understand. David understood this as the author of Psalm 23. He had already been through so much with the Lord. He had been through so much that he could sing. He could share it in such a way to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He knew the provision that God provided for him. In the second verse, he says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters." He knew God had provided, and God will provide, abundance for him. In the third verse, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Even David, in all that he had done wrong, was able to be restored in his relationship with his Father in heaven. We see in this passage ways that we know that God comes along. At times that we may be blinded, and he provides for us. Times that we may not really want or feel that we deserve what God is offering, and God blesses us in abundance. And certainly in ways that we know that only through Jesus Christ is our lives restored. How important for us to hear this now and today. Just this week, as often as it is in my line of work, I have to admit, I love going to funerals. I love helping officiate funerals. Had the opportunity at the Leon Pope's mother's service that it just so happened that I needed to help fill in for the graveside service. And we said these words from Psalm 23, and I think they're beautiful words of assurance for us that we need to say them every time that we have a funeral. Most times it's included in what is put together for the message of the day, for the time that we're grieving the loss of a loved one. But I think we need to share it more often. It's not just a passage of Scripture for us to remember in the midst of losing a loved one. It's one to live and to experience the abundance of life that God gives us now. To see our eyes revealed where God is active with us now. Not just in the future when we're thinking of green pastures as being something that we move from this life to life eternal. And the transition is one that the shepherd takes us from one field to an eternal field. I do believe that. I think that is true for this text. But it's also true for us on a daily basis. That God wants to offer us green pastures to live in. To live alongside of one another in ways that we see that God is active in our lives today as well. Now I want to point out verse 6 in Psalm 23. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Notice that it is goodness and mercy shall follow. But if you look at the Hebrew word for follow, it is actually pursue. God actually pursues us. He chases after us. It's not just that mercy and goodness will come after us and eventually wander into our presence. No, it is we are pursued by God. Did you notice in our passage of this blind man that after all he's endured with those who have questioned his sinfulness, whether he was saying that Jesus was the Messiah, they send him away. They send him away in the very last verse, verse 34. It says that the Pharisees sent the man away, that they were just, you were born completely in sin. How is it that you dare to teach us? Then they expelled him. They expelled the man that Jesus had healed. And notice what Jesus does. Jesus heard that they had expelled the man born blind, finding him. Notice that. It doesn't say much. But Jesus chases after this man. He doesn't want him to let go of what he's experienced. And he shares with him, "Do you believe in the one who has healed you? And the one that has healed you, right standing before you, is the Messiah." And he says, "Yes, yes, I believe. Lord, I do believe." What good news for you and for me that as God reveals how God is working in our lives, we too can believe that surely goodness and mercy shall pursue and chase after us. We know that we will have to face our enemies and they'll be at the same table. But we also know that God is there with us. I know in my own life I have had many encounters of moments where things have felt like a loss, whether that's the loss of loved ones. Many funerals, as much as I enjoy doing funerals, because it provides an opportunity for us to really open up to how is God active in our lives. I tend to think back to all those that I have presided over in their funerals. Just randomly, thoughts will come to mind as you have learned about me. I love metaphors, and so each time I do a funeral, I try to find a metaphor that fits with that person and how God has loved them and how they have loved others. And generally, I will have a different metaphor for each one. So there's one that when I'm running, I think of a man that I used to run with. And throughout my day and weeks, there are times that I'm reminded of those who I miss and have as a loss. I'm also reminded of relationships that are at a loss, ones that I'm not as connected to as before. In each of these moments, I realize that life is not as great as I would like it to be. And then I remember my shepherd. I remember the good shepherd, the great shepherd who walks alongside of me, who moves through the Psalm 23 in a way that you understand that you're a sheep, I'm a sheep, we're a sheep with Jesus. But then it moves to this transition to the last verses where you're being hosted by God and that we are people at the table, even with our enemies. We move from being sheep to people and you understand that no matter what we go through, no matter what the challenge may be, Jesus is there with us. So much so that He is chasing after us. Should we run in the opposite direction? Should we be led astray by a wolf in sheep's clothing? Jesus will still come after us. I was struck by one of the things I shared last week, and that was the image of us thinking of Moses striking the rock. And I didn't talk about it too much, so it really resonated with me to kind of take this a little further and to know that the rock is the church. And I think you all remember me referring to that as the rock here in Exodus chapter 17, where Moses and the Israelites, they're wandering in the desert, they're thirsty, and they're complaining about not having enough water. And God says to Moses, strike the rock with your staff. Staff, we now know, representing Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and the rock representing us as the body of Christ. And the image that came to me was this idea that the rock had to be broken open so that water might flow out. And I thought, what a beautiful image for us as a church, too, to believe that the one who strikes us is the one who's able to create new life in us, flowing with new water out of what has once been there solid is now broken apart and new life is being born out. I thought, what a message for you and for me today. To know and believe and to trust that Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd in our lives. And that we need to know this and believe that. But we also need to act upon it. We need to trust to obey what Jesus asked us to do. And sometimes it won't make sense, like trying to make sense of why a man would be blind from birth so that God could use him to make a good story. Well, some of this we don't understand. And no, I'll never understand why people get sick and hurt and why things happen to people. I can't believe that God would allow these things to happen. But I do believe God comes alongside of us. Valley of the shadow of death, in our darkest moments, He comes alongside us. And He helps us through. He loves us. I thought about that, not just for us individually to claim and believe, but for us as a congregation to believe. Hear me out. Jackson United Methodist Church. I believe the best days for us are still ahead of us.
I believe the best days for us as the body of Christ gathered here at Jackson United Methodist Church are still ahead of us. But I also hear this passage, knowing our darkest valley, the lowest point that we may be individually, even as a congregation, are still ahead of us as well. I don't believe in a God that makes everything rosy and perfect for us. I believe in a God who loves us enough to break the rules and say, I will heal you even on a Sabbath. I believe in that God. The one who is challenging us to say, you really believe in me as your good shepherd. You'll trust me even in the dark valley. Your individual lives, the loss of a family member, the loss of a love, the loss of a relationship, financial loss, whatever it may be, to believe in those moments, we can trust. We can trust in the voice. The one in chapter 10, just following this, that Jesus talks about himself as the good shepherd. The one that we look to his voice and we understand his voice. And when we hear the one that would steal us away, we run in the opposite direction. We run back to God. I encourage all of us, individually and collectively, put our trust, put our hope, put our obedience in following Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as the Good Shepherd who will lead us through the valleys, make us to have moments of being on top of the mountain. Whether it's a valley or a mountain, Jesus will be with us. Jesus will guide us. Jesus will comfort us. Jesus will heal us and allow us to see what He wants us to see. May we believe that individually. May we believe that as the body of Christ. Let us pray. Oh Lord, these words, spoken long ago from David in Psalm 23, as well as John reminding us about what you did for the blind man. To allow him to see. To allow him to see you. Lord, do in us as well. Lord, help us when we may be blinded at times. Help us when we feel blinded by all that's happening in our lives. It's challenging us to whether we can be faithful to you. Help us to believe that not only do you love us, but you cherish us enough that you would chase after us. That surely goodness and mercy will chase after us all the days of our lives. Help us, Lord, to know what you are doing and will do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now invite you to stand for our hymn of invitation, page 378 in your hymnal, verses 1 through 4 of Amazing Grace.